Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Who are you? What are you doing? Where are you going to go? And how much is it going to cost you to get there? You know, Jesus said, what man gets ready to build a tower unless he first sits down and counts the cost thereof? I didn't think about money when I got married. We have money. We never balance a checkbook. We don't need to. Rent's cheap. We both have jobs. We're driving new cars. We don't have any children. Who cares what's in the checkbook? There's money there. But all of a sudden, Denise has to quit her job and have a baby, and it's just me. I bounce checks like ping pong balls on a concrete floor. I had no concept of balancing a checkbook. What is that? Who cares? Just, we need more money. Well, you don't get more money if you don't steward the money you have. And so I realized, oh, my goodness. So thank God again in the local church. I've been sitting down in class. Like, I need to start measuring something. We kind of went back and began to do some studies and realized I need a budget. The greatest miracle you'll ever do. So we're going to start with this. Give you four things about your money. Number one, all money is a condition of your soul. Poverty and prosperity are a condition of the soul. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Joshua 1:8, if you'll meditate in the word day and night, then you will prosper and have good success. Psalms 1:1-3, if you meditate in the word day and night, then you will prosper and have good success. Prosperity is not based on your IQ or your GPA. It's based on what you believe. Do you believe you're going to make it? Then you're going to make it. Do you think you'll never make it? You're not going to make it. Faith is critical. Where there is no faith, you don't please God. Where there's no faith, you don't whip the devil. Now, realize something. We need money. We need money bad. Now, I had a great job one time. I was working this job, and I liked my job, and I thought, man, I liked this job, but I knew I was topped out. I'm not going to make any more money than I'm making. I'm topped out. I got to make more money. And I love my boss. My boss has been very good to me. Very good. Worked there 10 years, and I knew he couldn't pay me anymore. I'm topped out. Now, I'm not that old, but I'm topped out. Well, I'm dropping babies like rainwater. I got to get some more money. I need more money. Well, they opened up a business, a similar business, 12 miles away. Bigger, and I knew they could probably pay more. Well, I want to go interview, but I've got a loyalty issue. I can't just go up there. So I went to my boss and said, listen, you've been so good to me. I really appreciate everything you've done, but you can't do anymore, and I know it. I will never ask you for a raise. I'm topped out, and I know it. You've been incredibly good to me, but you can't pay me anymore. But I got to make more money. I can't survive at this. I need a bigger paycheck. Can I go up and interview this other company? Now, he wasn't really happy. Wasn't pleased, but he did allow him. Sure, Joe, I understand. He said, I wish you'd stay here. I know it's not your fault I'm dropping babies like rainwater, but I got to get more money. I go up and interview, and it was an hour interview. The guy was very polite, and he's sitting there, and he's talking. The last two questions he asked me stunned me. His last two questions, he said, well, Joe, just a couple more questions. Number one, how much money does it take in the McGee family to live on every year? And I thought, nobody ever asked me that. I thought, what did he just say? And so I just looked a minute, and he said, how much money does it take the McGee family to live on every year? Well, I quoted my current salary. I just caught me off guard, so I went, blah, 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 and I quoted my salary. He looked at me just a minute. He said, is that your current salary? Oh, my God, he's prophetic. And I said, yes. He said, that's not what I want to know, Joe. I need to know how much money it takes the McGee family to live on every year, because evidently, if you're not living on your current salary, you wouldn't be sitting here. And I didn't know what to say. I'm stunned. He said, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go home and you ask your wife, because she'll know the numbers, and you come back in the morning, and we'll finish this interview. Well, he just pretty much castrated me right there. Okay, I'll go ask my mommy. I'll be back tomorrow. He laughed. It was serious. So I went home, and Denise said, did you get the job? I said, well, believe it or not, I thought I had divine favor. I was believing God, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I think I did, except he asked me 2 incredibly stupid questions. And what do you want to know? I said, well, the biggest thing you want to know, he wanted to know how much money it took us to live on every year. She said, what did you tell him? I said, well, I quoted my salary. She said, that's not what he wanted to know. I said, that's what he said. He said, Joe, sit down here just a minute and I'll show you what he wanted to know. And so we sit down and she just took a yellow pad at the kitchen table that night and the kids had gone to bed. Joe, listen, if we're normal, if we're just normal, not a Taj Mahal, not a Rolls Royce, if we're just normal people, here's what we need. Here's the size house. Here's how many clothes the kids need. If you're going to Little League, they need this. You know, we're going to go to camp, need bracelets on the crooked teeth, get us some good tennis shoes. If we go on vacation besides your mother's house, here's where we need to go if we're going to start saving money. And she just kept writing stuff down. And at the end of the page, she had a final number. She said, this is how much money we need. And I remember I was sitting there just standing up next to her. I said, my God, we're broke. She said, I've been telling you that for 3 years. And I'm numb. I said, my God, I work hard, Denise. I work real hard. She said, yes, you do, Joe. Your daddy taught you good. You work really hard, but you need to work smarter, not harder. I said, he's not going to pay that number. Nobody's going to pay that number. That's a stupid number. She said, well, that's the number we need. You go up there and lie to him. Maybe God will bless that. And she got mad. She went off to bed. And she went upstairs, and I just went and slept on the couch. I was depressed. I thought, oh, dear God, I can get that job. He could pay me more. But and we've not discussed the salary. I just know they could. I can't tell him that number. Nobody's going to pay that number. Whoa, dear God. So I went in for the interview the next morning. He made me wait. Now, there was nobody in his office, and I knew it. The door's open. He said, well, wait out there. I'll get to you in just a minute. I thought, okay. And I thought, he's messing with me. First, he took my manhood yesterday. Today, he's trying to embarrass me. It's something from the pit of hell. Who is this guy? So finally, he said, come on in, Joe. And I come in, and I'm mad. I'm scared, and I'm mad. I'm just, oh, dear Lord. And my other boss, now he knows I'm trying to leave. It's like, I have shot my foot off. So I walk in, and he's standing up, and he said, have a seat. No, I'll just stand. He said, you got a number for me? I said, yes, sir. He said, what is it? I said, you can't afford me. He said, what is it? No, seriously, you can't afford me. I can't afford me. He laughed. I'm serious. That's what I said. He said, you let me be the judge of that. What's the number? Well, I am mad and I'm scared at the same time. So I just spit the number that Denise wrote on that pad. I just spit that out to shock him. Blah, 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 blah. He didn't even hesitate. All right, we can pay that. When can you start? I had two emotions hit me at the same time. My God. My wife's going to suck the lips off my face when I get home. We're going to have a good night tonight, buddy. And my other thought was, that other guy not paying me enough money. I'll tell you that right now. He should have been paying me more money. Now, please don't misunderstand. I realize something. God said, I'll supply all your need, not all your worth. And I know I'm worth the Son of God, but sometimes we limit ourselves. You know that 83% of all people in America who win the lottery lose it in 3 years? That's a government statistic. They'll lose it in 3 years. If you have a $30,000 soul and you win $300 million, you will go back to $30,000. A human will not allow themselves to make more money than they think they're worth. They will self-destruct. The most important thing you'll ever do about your own personal economy is change your soul. You've got to know what God says about you. What God says about your money. God said, I will supply all your need. You will eat the best. You will live in the best. You will drive the best. You will not be without. All your need will be supplied. Not only that, I will give you the desires of your heart. I'll make you the head, not the tail. That's not just an Old Testament wacky scripture. That is the heart of God. God's limitless. There's nothing that he would not do for us. It's not based, again, on whether you have a degree or not. Now, I'm big on education because we came out of poverty, and we're going to whip that devil, and we have. My kids are doing very well. They're here today. They're doing why? You're going to learn something because you only get paid for two things on this planet. You get paid for what you know or for what you can do. If you don't know more than somebody else, you can't do more than somebody else, you don't get paid more than somebody else. And so I realized something. People that have money are not chasing me. That was a hard lesson because it went, it helped me. And they're not going to. They don't like you. They don't like poor, ignorant people. People who are chasing people, that's who you want. I realize something. If I'm going to learn, I'm going to have to chase somebody. They're not going to chase me. God said, my people destroy for lack of knowledge. What happens? We get arrogant. We won't ask questions. Oh, I'm somebody. No, you're not. You know, God exalts the humble. You need to humble yourself. What does it mean? You need to be meek, not weak, meek. That means teachable. Humble people are teachable. Hey, how do you do that? Hey, how'd you learn that? If you don't start asking questions, I notice most men, we get together in business, we try to outbrag one another instead of try to ask questions. And so I had a great boss, man, in Mobile Clark in Baxter, Kansas. He'd teach me, Joe, when you get around other people smarter than you, shut your mouth up unless you're asking a question. That way, if you'll ask a question, people will gum flap you to death. If you do all the talking, you'll leave a room, you didn't learn a thing. You just bored them. Ask questions. That's how you learn something. And so I realized, okay, I need to change the way I think. As a husband, as a father, God, you want me blessed. How do you do that? Well, I got to find out what I'm good at. Now, when I was with a Grace school, people said, how did you turn that school around? It was very carnal. I had a class called A Biblical Worldview every day with 7th through 12th graders. I've got to change how they think about themselves. It was actually an old Bible class, and I would tell them, don't bring your Bible to Bible class. You're not reading it anyhow. If I said, turn to Hephaniah chapter 12, you'll try to find it. You're not reading it, so just leave it in your locker. And we cut chapel down from 50 minutes to 20 minutes. And I'm going to do storytelling. Jesus taught in parable form. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm never going to finish it. I'm going to end every day halfway through that story, pick it up the next day, start another story, and end it. Why? I want you to want to come back. I'm going to make you hungry for God. I'm going to create a hunger in you. And so then we changed where we start. Instead of starting school on Monday, we started school on Wednesday. Because you come out of the summer, nobody wants to come back to school. I realized I got to get inside their head because most people hate school. Most people hate going to work. That's why one of the greatest all-time hymns of our new century is Take This Job and Shove It. I Ain't Working Here No More. It's a great hymn. I remember when we used to come on the radio at work, we'd have five different country stations. So, hey, it's on, turn the station. And it was with Nolan Matheson. We had a great company, 300 employees, and turn the station, it's on, station 95.4. Men would turn, it's a noisy plant. We make big high voltage power cable. And we'd turn, and 300 men would sing in unison without a leader. Take this job, Chevy, we ain't working here no more. Take this job, Chevy. We'd sing that, and the foreman would laugh, and the supervisor would laugh. And 3 months later, they shut our plant down. Because you get what you say. So I don't sing that song anymore. Praise God. Sing to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're blessed and highly favored. We're going over, not under. God's going to bless everything we set our hand to. People like us don't even know why, because we're surrounded with divine favor. I love my boss, and he loves me. If he doesn't do his job, God will take him out, and I'll take his job. It's just how I see it. Now, you can laugh. I'm very serious. That's how I got promoted. People say, how'd you get to be an engineer? I started off as a janitor. Now, I didn't want to be a janitor. I wanted to marry Denise. I had a real job. I'm running a backhoe for a construction company. I love that job. But she would not marry me because I had no health insurance. She didn't want to get married, get pregnant, and we couldn't pay for the baby. So I left the backhoe to become a janitor at Olin Matheson. But I do have health insurance. So we got married. It didn't take her 2 weeks to tell her. She told me I needed a better job. I said, I had a better one. I took a worse one to marry you. So I'm down here, and I thought, well, I don't want to stay a janitor. And it was a union shop. And so I just start bidding on jobs. Well, I need to make more money. My wife said, I got to make more money. So I would go down where you punch in. And if it paid 10 cents an hour more than I'm making, I'd sign my name. And I learned early that most humans are lazy. Just thumb-sucking lazy. Work harder getting out of work than working. And I'd sign my name on a job. Oh, hey, McGee, you don't want to work down there. You know who that foreman is? No, I don't care. I'm not going home with him. I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for cash. And so I would sign on everything. So I moved through that company, man. I'm just moving up the freight train. All of a sudden, I'm about as high as I can go. I'm running a Strander one day. It's a great machine. And man, I'm making like a big 385 an hour. I'm really up there now. And I'm sitting there one day, and I'm sitting on these big Stranders, and there's rows of big old huge machines. You throw a spook through the roof, man, you get killed. It's noisy. I'm waiting for my machines to stop, and I look left one day, just rows of these big, long machines, and I look right, and these men there, they're old, and got an old hat on the back of their head, and unshaved, got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, just like a crummy Norman Rockwell painting. And I sit there one day, I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to look like that 20 years from now. Oh, my God, if this was the line at a grocery store, I got to get out of it. This is not good. And I thought, I got to get out of here. And so I thought, I got to get a better job. And so I got to thinking, I got to get a better job. I got to get out of here. I got to get a better job. What? I don't know. I'm not good at anything. I hated school. Now, it wasn't that I was bad at it. I just put no time into it. You understand? I hated school. You like school? I hate school. And then I realized something. Again, I only get paid for two things, what I know and what I can do. And based on my paycheck, I don't know anything, nor can I do anything. I thought, I got to go back to school. I got to learn something. And so I began to bid, and I realized there was only one job that paid a lot in that plant. It was a furnace operator. Big molten furnace up on a big mezzanine, four of them, 20,000 pounds of molten aluminum. It's like standing over a furnace. And they had four operators, a foreman, and a janitor in that department. I thought, now that job, I was $385, that job paid $8 an hour. I thought, I got to get that job. So I read the union manual, which evidently nobody read, and it said you have to promote from within the department. So I realized I'd had an opening a few months earlier, and I said, well, who gets that job? Well, it's from within the department. Well, there's nobody that's in the department except the janitor. So, all right. So I went and I bid on the janitor's job in the milk cash department. Well, when I signed up, hey, Mickey, you better get down there. Somebody signed your name up for the blankety blank job down there. And I said, no, I signed it up. You're going back to being a blankety blank person. Yeah, I like driving the forklift and going to the dump. Yeah, I'm going down there. I didn't tell anybody. I'm going down. I want to go down there. But then after 3 months, they promote the foreman to a salesman in the front office. They promote an operator to foreman. There's an opening. It's posted on the board. It's a bid deal. Well, several people in the plant bid on it. Well, I bid on it. Well, they gave it to another guy down in shipping. So I went down to the union shop and said, that's my job. That's not your job. You haven't been here long enough. It's not based on how long you've been here. According to your manual, it's based on who's in the department. I'm the only other guy in the department. That's my job. Well, you're crazy. You didn't give that job to the janitor. Well, it's in your manual. I didn't write the manual, but it's in the union manual. Well, they read it, and he's standing there looking at it like, well, that can't be right. I said, well, I didn't write the manual. I just read it. You wrote it. I just read it. That's my job. Well, they filed petitions. People wrote names on the side of my tires in the parking lot. I was a popular person. But they gave me that job, and then they changed the manual.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.